Be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the time arrived for Elizabeth to have her child, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy toward her, and they rejoiced with her. When they came on the eighth day to circumcise the child, they were going to call him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said in reply, "No, he will be called John." But they answered her, "There is no one among your relatives who has this name." So they made signs, asking his father what he wished him to be called. He asked for a tablet and wrote, "John is his name," and all were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened, his tongue freed, and he spoke, blessing God. Then fear came upon all their neighbors, and all these matters were discussed throughout the hill country of Judea. All who heard these things took them to heart, saying, "What then will this child be? For surely the hand of the Lord was with him." The Gospel of the Lord. As we approach Christmas Day, when we celebrate the birthday of Jesus, the readings in the Gospel presents us with the different details and circumstances that surround the Savior's birth. And in the retelling of these circumstances, we have characters coming forth who, in their own person, reflect for us the person who is to come, the Messiah of God. And so today we have Zechariah, Elizabeth, and their son, John the Baptist. It says here in the Gospel of Luke that there was a great rejoicing with the birth of John. And he says her neighbors, Elizabeth's neighbors, heard and they heard that the Lord had shown great mercy toward Elizabeth. This is the cause of their rejoicing. What does that mean when you say the Lord had given her great mercy? Well, for one thing, we know that Elizabeth was barren. Elizabeth was barren, and barrenness during that time, in the time of the Lord, is a great shame and embarrassment for the woman, not necessarily the man, but for the woman. Because it was understood during the time of Jesus, in those ancient times, that the man has the fullness of the seed of human. All he has to do is implant that seed to the womb of a fertile and hospitable host, so that seed will flourish and grow. So, if there's no offspring in the marriage, it's the fault of the woman. It means her womb is inhospitable. It means her womb will not support life. And they see that as a curse from God. And so here we can see Elizabeth living her life in quiet shame and embarrassment. And perhaps people look upon her with, you know, side glances, looking at her as someone cursed by the Lord. And so we can understand this great rejoicing that after all these years, God favored Elizabeth with a son. And then we also have here Zechariah, who was deaf and dumb. Apparently, he couldn't hear, he couldn't talk, because they have to motion to him what they wanted to say. We know the reason why he was left without the ability to speak, because at that moment when the angel Gabriel announced the birth, the miraculous birth of John the Baptist, he struggled with it. And his first question was, how can this be? We're old. We're old and we're not of childbearing age. And to tell you the truth, a lot of the parts are no longer functioning. Basically, that's what he was saying. He struggled with that. And so the angel Gabriel helped him to understand the ways of God. And so he struck him deaf and mute. Now, plenty of times you say, well, that was the punishment from angel Gabriel. But I would like to propose, that's a grace from God. That's a blessing from the Lord. You see, plenty of times when we are faced with something that is beyond our understanding, or when we are faced with a crisis, we tend to speak out our mind and what's in our hearts. When we speak to the Lord, we map out for the Lord exactly what we want for Him to do to us. You know, you just recall our prayers. And I remember when I was younger, and I would pray for myself or a friend or whoever needs prayer. And I will say, for example, someone who is ill with cancer, I will say, Lord, heal her and heal every cell, and bring your healing to every cell that is broken and is ill, and touch the person so that all of the therapy will be successful and she will be scot-free. She will be cancer-free. And very definite, you know, and directing God. But maybe that's not the best prayer in times of crisis, in times of great confusion, in times of darkness. Maybe the lesson that we can get from Zechariah's silence is that those moments, maybe they require silence. Silence before the face of God, who knows everything exactly, who knows the depths of our heart even before we articulate what it is that we want to say. He knows what we need. He is wisdom, and so He knows what is best for us. And so instead of articulating, you know, Lord, do this, do that, which is really nothing more than an articulation of our own anxiety and even our doubt. Maybe in those times, we need to be like Isaiah, like Zechariah, to be silent. The Blessed Mother was silent. Once she received the message, all she said was, I am the servant of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your word. Maybe we can pray like that in times of great stress and crisis. Let your will be done, Lord, because in your will is our peace. Bow down to the power of God. And so we can see that also in the life of Zechariah after being silent. And now the prophecy was completed. And he wrote the name. His name will be John. The meaning of the name John is God has been gracious to me. A recognition of God's grace, a recognition of God's majesty and power. All because he was silent in the face of God. May we learn the meaning of silence and the value of silence. And in there, in the darkness and the quiet, we begin to apprehend the hand of God working quietly. And yes, He has the world in His hands, and we need not fear.